Let's turn to the book of Ruth. To the book of Ruth tonight. I got some things I want to tell you and talk about out of the book of Ruth. Don't seem like we're getting very far into it. We're not going to try to speed up things or slow it down. I want to try to look at some things. I believe tonight God will give us something that will be practical. I pray that every time we look in the Word of God, it will be practical. Not that we're looking at the Word of God to see what we can find to add to anything, but something that will help us, something that will make us live better. Amen. Knowledge sometimes don't help us to live better. But when we get our hearts right with God, it does. And so I pray tonight what's said, what's done, and what's brought before us tonight might find a lasting place and a lodging place in our heart, that it might stay there and cause us to live different. If you will, take to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. We're going to read the first 5 verses. Now, that's what we've done in the last few weeks, but we're going to maybe learn some more about this tonight. Would you stand in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Ruth, chapter 1, verse number 1. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. Notice those conjunctions, and. All right. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. You can be seated. Lord, tonight as we bow in Your presence, we thank You for the privilege of being at the house of God. Lord, we thank You for the songs that's sung tonight. I pray, Lord, that You'll bless everything that's done, that You'll get the glory and the honor and the praise. May Your name be magnified tonight, dear God. I pray that we might find ourselves where we need to be. And Lord, may we learn something from the Word of God that will help us and strengthen us and encourage us. And then, Lord, maybe pry out the back and dark corners of our life, God, that we might find where we are and lay that on the altar, that we might be used of You in a mighty way. And God, we'll give You the praise and the glory. Touch this world tonight that's so seeked in sin and, Lord, so far away from You. I pray, God, tonight, as the men of God preach across America, Lord, that they might be full of the power of God and conviction might grip the hearts of the people. Lord, that there might be a revival across our land. And we'll give You the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about some things, something we started on, and I'm going to try to finish that tonight and get into something a little bit in more depth and detail. We know we talked about the family, we talked about the famine, and we started on the failure. And I want to look at this part of the failure tonight. And I believe that we can look at these 7 characters out of the book of Ruth. You remember the 7 characters? I'll remind you of them again. It's Elimelech and Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion, Ruth, Orpah, and Boaz. And I believe we can take each of these individuals. Now, we looked at the family, but I want to go back, and we'll break that down tonight a little bit more. And I believe you can take these 7 characters, and you can find every one of us associated in some degree, in some manner, in one or all, or a portion of these people. And you can see how it happens. And looking at it maybe from a different light tonight, I want to look at the failure. This family failed. It failed. Amen. And it was ended up being a total failure. Going to Moab was a total failure for them, was it? Amen, it was. And looking at it. Now, the failure was not Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. That's where they should have been, where they should have stayed. The failure was not the famine. Even though the famine was rough, it was not the failure in their life. It was not the famine that caused the failure. They may have thought it had, but it was not. The failure in their life was not God. God was on the side of the people of God. If they had stayed with God, matter of fact, the problem was they left God. And the problem was not, or the failure was not with Moab, even though Moab was not where they should be. Where was the problem at? The failure was them walking away from a holy God. Now tonight, I want to turn that thing just a little bit, and we talked about Bethlehem the house of bread, Judah, as praise. And matter of fact, if you look at this, Judah is the section of the country where they were. Just give you this little kind of thought. When I put on my address sometimes, I live in Clarksville, Georgia. If you want to look at it like that tonight, it's Bethlehem, Judah. That's where Bethlehem was, in Judah. So you'll kind of get the correspondence with it like that tonight and find out where they were. So they left Bethlehem, Judah. And we're going to type that thing tonight and look at it from a different prospect and different respect from the Word of God. Now we want to look at it as being Bethlehem as a type of the church, and that's where God feeds His people, is it not? Bethlehem's a house of bread. Amen. That's where God feeds His people, where God wants His people. But God has chosen the church and ordained the church and put the church into existence that it might feed the saints of God. The church is where you get your food. That's where you get your nutriments. That's where you get your nourishment. That's where you get your vitamins. That's where, the brother prayed a moment ago, that we might get charged up and get our spiritual food to go on the rest of the week. Thank God that's where we get our food, down at the house of God. So now as we look at this tonight, let's look at it in a little bit more detail. Now let's take Elimelech, for instance. He's the first one. Matter of fact, not much said about Elimelech in the whole Bible. He's only mentioned four times. I'm going to give them to you here in just a minute. Four times he's mentioned in the book of Ruth, every one of them. Outside the book of Ruth, he's not mentioned. His name means, if you will, look at your notes, you probably remember it. His name means, my God is King. My God is King. Now let me go on record to tell you this tonight. Bible names are important. Back in Bible days, they named their kids and children and people by something that stood for something. Their name had a meaning. In these modern days, we just name them John, Joel, Sally, Sue, and all that stuff. Amen. And we don't really, we just get something that sounds good. It's something different, and so we'll name them that. Some of you may have looked up and seen what your kids' names meant before you ever named them, but most of the time it don't happen anymore. But in the Bible days, they picked out a name, and they named them for something that stood for something. And so Elimelech was named of that because it meant, my God is King. They carried the name tonight of importance. Now let's think about it. His name is mentioned in chapter number 1, verse number 2. His name is mentioned in chapter number 1 and verse number 3. His name is mentioned in chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And His name is mentioned in chapter number 2 and verse number 3. Four times in the Word of God, His name is mentioned. Now I want to take this name tonight, Elimelech. I want to look at it, break it down in three things out of that name tonight. We'll look at it. There's a confession, there's a connection, and there's a coronation. And I want to look at them three things in just a moment. And as we look at this, Elimelech is a type of a born-again, saved child of God. My God is King. That represents him as being a born-again, saved person. And so we find them kind in the church, don't we? Amen. That's right. But sometimes they don't stay in the church, do they? Amen. Elimelech didn't. He left. And we're going to look at that for just a minute. Now Elimelech is not only a type of a saved man, but he's a type of a saved man who has backslidden on God. He's a backslider. Amen. He's a real backslider. Now know this, when we come into this world, reach the age of accountability, the first question God asks us is, where do you want to go, heaven or hell? Amen. Through the preaching of the Word of God, by the grace of God, through the blood of Christ, He tells us we can go to heaven. And He tells us if we shun the Lord Jesus Christ and trample the blood on our feet, we can go to hell. So the first thing that God deals with mankind is his destination and where it's, what He wants to choose, heaven or hell. The second question God asks you after you get saved, amen, is do you want to live for heaven or do you want to live for the earth? In other words, God wants you to put your service somewhere. He wants you to get involved. He wants you to get involved in living for heaven and living for God. But many times we choose earth. And so here's what exactly Elimelech did. Now let's look at this name. My God is King. We find a confession in that name. Look at the middle two words. When the two words says, "My God is." Amen. That's a confession. His name is saying, "Hey, I'm not questioning. If there's a God, there is a God." Amen. So he's got a confession there that God is. That proves to me that Elimelech was not an atheist. That proves to me he was not an agnostic. That proves to me that he was a born-again believer. He believed that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Amen. So we see that Elimelech, in his name, we see tonight his confession. Now let's look at his connection with this name. He said, "My God is." My is personal. He's connected with God. He said, it's not God is altogether, it's my God is. Amen. And so he puts himself personally in that thing, and there's a connection with it. But he's also got a coronation in it, because he said, "My God is what? King." Well, that means he's the ruler. That means he's in control. That means he's got charge. He's the one. And you can like that tonight like this. The Lord tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, is one of two things, or both to you. He may be the Lord of your life. If he is, he's also the Savior. But he could be your Savior, not your Lord. Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God, I want you to know tonight you're going to go to heaven. And but he's not your Lord until he gets complete full control of you. When he's got complete full control of you, he becomes the Lord of your life. He may be the Savior who saves you and redeems you and picks you up out of the pits of hell, but he's not your Lord because you have not yielded to him yet, and you're not under his control completely. You're walking by the flesh and not by the Spirit, and therefore he's not Lord. So tonight you need to have that connection, you need to have that confession, and you need to have that coronation of putting Jesus first in your life. Amen and amen. Now, jot these things down. I got several things. I sit and thought, and I told my wife, I said, I believe I sit here and thought about another 15, 20 more minutes, and I've been all afternoon studying on this and thinking about it, and we'd have some more. I could give you some more things. But I want to give you some types of Elimelech. Now I realize Elimelech is not the number one character of the book of Ruth. He's not. But I believe God put him in there for us to talk about. The Lord could have very well said, there was a man that took his wife and children to Moab. He didn't have to mention their names. But he chose to mention their names, and their names are put in there for a purpose. Now let's give some types of it. I believe you'll agree with me when you hear it tonight. What is he typical of? Elimelech, number one, is typical of a man who makes the wrong move or the wrong decisions in his life. Now reckon what caused Elimelech to make a wrong move. It was wrong for him to leave Bethlehem and go to Moab. That was a wrong decision. Would you agree with me tonight? I believe he made a wrong move. I believe he made a wrong turn. I believe he made the wrong decision. A lot of us have made wrong decisions. You can typify yourself with Elimelech because in your life there's been a lot of times that you made wrong moves. Guess why he made the wrong move? I would say it's because he wasn't looking to God. He wasn't praying enough. He wasn't studying the Scripture. Did you know if you ever make a wrong move, it'll be because you hadn't studied the Word of God enough? It's because you have not prayed enough? Every time that I let the gap down and don't pray enough and don't study my Bible enough, I'll make the wrong move. I'll make the wrong decisions. As a pastor, I make the wrong moves when I don't study and pray and seek the face of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to study, we've got to pray, we've got to seek the face of God, or we'll make the wrong move. And Elimelech made the wrong move. As a matter of fact, the next wrong move you make could be detrimental. Did you know that? I don't believe that Elimelech, he didn't say, "Hey, I'm going to run off down there to Moab. I'm going to ruin my family. I'm going to destroy it, and I'm going to die down there in Moab. I'm just going to tear this whole thing all to pieces because I'm mad at God." Elimelech didn't say that. No, sir. I believe he thought he was doing good, and that brings me to the second thought. He's a type of a man tonight who thinks that he's doing right when he's doing wrong. Have you ever done right when done wrong when you thought you was doing right? There's been a few things and a few times in my life I said, "Lord, here's what I think I need to do." Matter of fact, I've told the Lord a lot of times what I needed. He didn't necessarily agree with me every time. Amen. Have you ever been to a place in your life that you said, "Lord, I don't know where I should do this or should not do that"? I've been in some decisions in my life when it was hard for me to make. And you know what I've done? I've sought the face of God, prayed and prayed and prayed, and took my Bible and said, Lord, please show me something from the Word of God, what I should do. And I prayed and I've sought God. And even after doing that, I'm still just as questionable in my mind about doing something, whether I should or not. So you know what one of the last resorts that I usually have is? I say, Lord, please. Lord, please. And I found this always works in my life. Lord, please don't let me make the wrong move. Please, whatever I do, please block it. Don't let me go wrong. Don't let me do wrong. Don't let me get out of line. Lord, keep me straight. Oh, God, don't let it happen that I get out of the line. Amen. And I found God does that. I don't believe tonight that you have to argue with God. I believe you just lay your life out before Him and say, Lord, help me with this. The Lord knows you. He knows how serious you are. Now, sometimes you've been at the throne of God. You've prayed. You've tried to find the Word of God. But you're trying to find something that's going to correspond with what you're doing. You're looking all over the Word of God to find something that's going to line up with you when it ain't there. Because you know that's what you need to do. You haven't really seeking the face of God. You're just trying to tell God what you want. And brother and sisters tonight, we're just like Elimelech. He thought he was doing something right. But he is doing it wrong. He thought the right thing for him to do at that time was go to Moab. And he didn't give any second thought to it. He just got up and took off. He thought he was providing for his family. He thought he was doing best for his family. But you know what he'd done for his family was the worst thing that he could have possibly done for him. Now let's look a little bit more about Elimelech tonight. He's typical in this modern day of a man or woman who leaves the church when the church ain't going right. Now, I believe tonight that there's a lot of people ought to get out of some of the churches that they're in. Did that sound tough? Did that sound foreign or something? I mean, boy, nobody... I believe there's some folks sitting in churches where they're not getting anything from the Word of God, and the preaching is not going on, and I believe they ought to find them somewhere else to go if they believe in God. And I'm all for that. Amen. But I want to say this tonight. I've seen them say, well, this things ain't going right around here. It ain't going like I want it to go. No church will ever go like you want it to go. When it does, we're in trouble. Amen. I used to try a little bit of that when I was pastoring many years ago before I got here. I'd run from one church to another church to another church and stay a little while. I was looking for one that I thought might be a little bit more perfect than where I was. And I finally gave up and found out you can't find them. Right. Amen. And I quit doing that. And so I finally just settled down. And I realized when I got here that I didn't have a perfect congregation. Didn't take them long to learn that they didn't have a perfect pastor. And we kind of got together, and you don't have a perfect preacher, and I don't have a perfect congregation, and you're as sorry as they come, and I'm as sorry as they are, amen. And so we might as well just admit that tonight, and try to learn and live for God like we ought to live. Amen. Yes, sir. You ain't going to agree with me on everything. I'm not going to agree with you on everything, but let's just take the Word of God and try to get the best we can around it, and look at it like God wants us to look at it. Amen. And when we get disagreeable, we can disagree without being disagreeable. Amen. I mean, in other words, I'm not going to box you in the nose because you don't believe what I preach. And I don't expect you to talk about me and box me in the nose because you don't believe what I said. Amen. Ain't that the way it ought to go? Amen. If you think I preached it wrong, you ought to get on your face before God. Lord, show me. But anyhow, Elimelech reminds me of the man that goes to church, and he said, well, I'm not being fed. I know people that go to churches where the preacher feeds them. But for some strange reason, they're not eating. You understand? Amen. I've even experienced it down through the years how sometimes the preacher has to do like a mama does the baby, just keep poking it in. Amen. Rub it off the lips and chin. Amen. Off the bib and poke it back in there again, and they keep poking it out. You keep poking it back. You either get it all everywhere or they finally swallow some of it. Amen. And then you have to walk around after you feed them sometime with them on your shoulder, patting them on the back, trying to get the hot air out of them because they got the bellyache. And that same thing happens in the church. Some of the things a preacher preaches, and I poke it down your throat, you go home, you get the bellyache. You go to griping, bellyaching, and guess what? It still ain't done much good. And so we look at it. Here's Elimelech. He's like a man who's left the church because he wasn't being fed, or maybe he said it's getting dry down here. I hear them say, we're going to leave the church and go somewhere else because they don't shout and don't praise God. And why, they're just as dead as they could be. Why, listen, if you think this place is dead, why don't you liven it up a little? You think it gets dry, why don't you go to praising God a little bit? Maybe it'll catch on. Show us how, if you don't think it's going right, do a little of it. Maybe we'll catch on. Praise God. You see what I'm saying? But you've seen that, haven't you? Oh, because it's dead and dry and barren. And Elimelech also reminds me of the man who sometimes not only does he go in somewhere else because he don't like what's going on there, but in the course of time he usually takes somebody with him. Did you know Elimelech took somebody with him? He did. Well, it'd been one thing if Elimelech said, well, Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion, it's dead and dry. We've got a famine around here, and I'm starving to death. I'm going to go on down to Moab. I'll make it better. When I get it better down there, I'm going to come back and get you. That ain't what he said, is he? Said, get your bags packed. We're all going. Amen. And so they didn't have... You see, I blame Elimelech above all. You said, well, now it might have been Ruth. No, it wasn't Ruth. Ruth wasn't there. Well, maybe it was Naomi. Well, now Naomi might have nagged on him a little bit and said, hey, it's getting dry around here. But even if she did, it was Elimelech that made the decision to leave Bethlehem. It was the man's job to stay in Bethlehem. So he went on, took her down there and led her out of the way and led the kids with him. Elimelech reminds me of the one that we have in churches sometimes that are out of touch with God, out of touch with the Word of God, out of touch with the people of God, and out of touch with the Spirit of God. They're just sitting by themselves. And it ain't going their way. Did you know ain't no church will ever go our way? It never will go your way. You said, well, preacher, sometimes it does. I'm talking about all the time. 24-7, 100%, it won't go your way. Somewhere down the road, they're going to sing a song you don't like. Amen. The preacher's going to ask three songs too many. Or he's not going to call on you to sing. Amen. Or we're going to take the offering to wrong time. Amen. Something's going to come up. It ain't on, because you're not going to always be in line with everything. So when you get that way, just stay in Bethlehem. Just stay with it. Amen. Praise God. That's what I'm asking you to do tonight. Now, we'll find something else. Elimelech's like a man. He's just going to make a temporary change. He's going to make a temporary change. What I'm talking about tonight covered a space of 10 years. But now, Elimelech never intended to go to down to Moab for 10 years. He was just going to go down there till the wind changed directions. In other words, till the famine got over. Then he's coming back. He was going down there just for a little while. Maybe he had had an offer of a job. Maybe somebody said, maybe in passing sometimes said, if you'll come down to Moab, we'll give you a good job down there. It kind of reminds me of somebody who said, well, I got the opportunity of getting a new job, and I think I'll take that new job. The only one thing about it is, it's going to take me out of church on Sunday. But you know, it's just temporary. Amen now. And it ain't going to last long, but it's just going to be a little time. I don't believe you ought to ever trade that at the house of God. I'll say this tonight. I worked on Sunday on a public job one time in my life. One time. One Sunday. I was a young man, and raising my family. I had one son at that time, And I was working on the job, and the job was going so good that they said, hey, we need everybody. And at that time, they couldn't make you work on Sunday, but they could ask for volunteers. Now they make you work on it. Amen. Some of them can. They shouldn't have to, but they... Anyhow, they can. If you say no, I ain't. They can make it rough on you through the week. So anyhow, I said I'll volunteer. I'd like to have that extra money anyhow. And I went down and worked on Sunday. Went down on that job on that Sunday, and all day. That was the longest day of my life. I said to myself, if I ever get out of here, I'm never going to work on Sunday again if I'm starving to death. And I've tried to keep that. Amen. But they'll say, Elimelech reminds me of that man that will postpone something. It don't have to be working. It can be something else. I realize that I can do this, and for a little while, it's going to eat in on my Bible reading. Amen. What is it? Oh, they get the fall shows are coming up, and some of your favorite programs is fixing to start viewed. I get being viewed, and you're going to say, well, I can't read my Bible from 8 to 9. Now my favorite program's coming on. It's just temporary. Amen. That happens. Things like that happen. Or I'll take a second job. It's going to affect... Listen to me tonight. Always put God in the equation as first and foremost and let God take care of the rest of it. Don't start trying to help God out in your finances. You'll get in trouble every time. Now, that's a quiet note right there. Preacher, I have to help the Lord out in my finances. Hush. No, you don't. Hey, He's got charge of it. Give Him charge of it. Maybe you're too high on the hog. He's trying to cut you back. He said, I don't want to be cut back. Maybe you need to be cut back. Amen. Maybe God won't see what you're going to do with it in this little trial. Just to see how strong you are with God. You said, preacher, you're going to meddling. No, Elimelech had them little thoughts. He didn't intend to stay down there that long. He also reminds me of somebody who had not much concern or too much concern for his children. Think about this. If Elimelech could have stopped and thought, now if I take my kids down to Moab, what kind of schools have they got down in Moab? What kind of churches have they got down in Moab? What kind of preaching do they have down in Moab? What kind of people are they down in Moab? If he has any sight at all. Now remember what his name is. His name is Elimelech, and what does it mean? My God is King. When he come through the town, they said, there's Elimelech. My God is King. He's recognized going through Bethlehem as a man that knows God. You understand that? He's got a testimony. And everyone that come to church, you come to Bible Way Baptist Church, you see you pull out of the drive, they know you've got supposed to have a testimony that you know the Lord God. Understand that? So we make our right decisions. So guess what? He didn't give it too much concern about his children's. Especially their spirituality. He had a concern about their welfare. He had a concern about their individual abilities to do things and to live and how that they were going to accomplish things. But he had not much concern about their spirituality. Did you know I find that's true in our country? In our churches? You know, there's a lot of mamas and daddies tonight. If they wake up and smell the coffee, I don't really particularly like that term. I do like the smell of the coffee, though. Amen. But I'll tell you this. If they'd wake up and begin to see that where they are and their kids are not getting fed by the Word of God and taught the Word of God, they'd begin to make some right decisions. But instead, they're trying to do what they think is pleasing to their kids and pleasing to themselves. Now, it's not a pleasing thing to go get the preacher preach on you all the time and bust your hide and scratch on you and slap on you and beat on you and kick on you. It ain't. That's right. But I'm telling you tonight, that's what we need. We need the word preached to us. And so he didn't have much concern about his children's spirituality.
And then he did not even really stop to think about what going to Moab might do in changing the whole course of his family. What did he think about? What did he think about? Hey, if I take my kids off down to Moab. Now listen, they had to be pretty good sized. They weren't in the cradle, by the way. You know how I know? In a 10-year span, they'd done married. Both of them had done married, and both of them had died. In a 10-year span. So I'd say it's getting close to teenagers if they weren't teenage boys when they went up there. That is a crucial time in a child's life. I know it's crucial when they're small. But they might have been taught right. But now daddy's jerked them up out of Bethlehem and took them off down to Moab, and there they are. I've seen this happen in my lifetime. In past, I've seen men and women take their children out of a good, fundamental, strong church where the preaching is and move them off to the city and give them the city life and then lose them. They didn't wring their hands in their old age and pray for my boy, pray for my girl. Ought to have kept them at the house of God where they should have kept them. Amen? Is what I'm preaching not practical? This is practical. Amen. I believe this is what God wants. Matter of fact, there's seven characters, and we're on the first one, and I don't believe we're going to get off of him tonight. And we're going to. I begin to look at Mahlon and Chilion, and I said they ain't mentioned in there very many times, but surely, and God began to give me some things on them, and I got amazed at what God showed me about Mahlon and Chilion. Just a couple of verses there. There's a lot in there. Well, guess what? What happened to Mahlon and Chilion? We'll just use this Elimelech, but I'll give it to you a little later when we get on to them individually. When Elimelech took them down to Moab, what'd they do? They married the Moabitish women, which was a no-no. And I'll give you a reason for that when I get down to them. So what he done is he lost his children. He let them unequally be yoked with the people and the inhabitants of Moab. And not only that, but he took them away from any spiritual fire that they could possibly get. Because you know what they did in Moab? They were idol worshipers. They even offered their children to their gods. Now that's not where you want to raise your kids. Amen. Elimelech is also typical of those tonight that have walked out on God as a backslider and seen God cut them off. In my lifetime, I believe I've preached some funerals, several funerals of people that I honestly believe that God cut them off. Cut their days short because they had walked against God. I really believe tonight that I preach some funerals of people that filled a premature grave that could have lived a little longer if they just stayed where God wanted them. But what happened is they become to be a stumbling block and become to be spiritually out of order with God, and they got the place that there's out of fellowship with Him, and they became a bad testimony, and God said, I'm not going to let that happen. My God is King. Elimelech, you've got the testimony, and I am going to cut you off. You're in the wrong place. I do not believe that Elimelech intended on having a tombstone in Moab. I believe that's a father's thing from his mind. If you'd have said Elimelech before you leave Bethlehem, have you stopped to count the cost? He may have said, yeah. No telling what he had said. But I'm saying to you, he went down the road and God cut him off. He's typical also of the many multitudes in our churches that get involved with the world and begin to let the world pull them apart from the church. And not only let them pull you apart from the church, but let them pull your family apart from the things of God. He's typical of that. Just can you imagine a minute? Here's Naomi. She went down there, maybe against her will, I don't know that. But she's typical of something different. When we get to her, I'll explain it to you. She was in obedience to her husband, I am sure. If she twisted his arm to make him go, she'll have to answer for that. But Elimelech is the one who's in charge. I said that a while ago. I said it again. One day, Elimelech just dies. I don't know how far into the 10-year period it took for Elimelech to die. Don't say. I don't know how long it was. Maybe a short time, maybe 3 years, 4 years, five. I don't know. I can't put no time. I can't find that in the Bible. But somewhere down the road, Naomi had to make some funeral arrangements. Now, can you imagine she's not where she should have been? He's not where he should have been. Can you imagine the funeral? Elimelech died out of fellowship with God. That's a wrong place. Moab's a wrong place for a child of God to be in when he dies. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, you've got yourself anchored in the church. You're trying to be steadfast in church. You pray, you study, you read your Bible. You try to live right for God. Stay with that! I've seen so many just get up and go out and stay out of the church, and then when they die, just got a little handful of people coming to their funeral. Because they live such a rough life and all they got, and even then it's just worldly people. Hey, when I die, I may have some people in the world come to see, you know, down to, and some of them will come to see for sure that they have heard it right, that I'm gone. But it's the good folks that I'm looking for, church people, God's people, to come visit me. And I don't want the world to have to put on my funeral. I've always told my wife, I said, don't you go out there and get my cousins and get my nephews and the little heathens that ain't come to church all these years to be my pallbearers like you always have down through the years to everybody. You go get some devout men to carry my body down the cemetery. Isn't church folks? But you won't show up. You said, I don't care who. I'd like to have them all there because I've asked somebody, when they preach my funeral, I want them to preach a good one. And I don't want them to brag on me. I want them to brag on Jesus and give an invitation. I don't see somebody say, so hey, get that worldly crowd in. But don't bring that worldly crowd that you can't tell whether a man or a woman walking down the aisle to sit on the second row and call them pallbearers. Amen. The Bible said when they buried old Stephen, the Bible said they got some devout men to carry his body. One preacher said, I'm going to get my deacons to carry me. And I said one time to a bunch of deacons I had to give me a bunch of trouble, and I said, I ain't going to let my I don't want them to let me down for the last time. I told the undertaker not long ago, I'd let him put me down for the last time. But I want devout men. You understand what I'm saying? Can you imagine the funeral possession? Not many there. Elimelech is a typical of somebody that's walked away from God, left the house of God, left the people of God, left the walk of God. He's saved. My God is King. His name is saved. Hey, he's a saved person. God is trying to say, here's a saved man that left the place of God and went out into the world. Got into Moab. Hadn't you seen that over and over and over? Now I'll just leave them thoughts with you.
Because if I get on Malon and Chilion, we won't get out of here for another hour, so we'll just wait. Malon and Chilion. When we get down there, past that, we're going to talk about the three widows in Moab, or the three widows in the washpot. That's what Moab is. Think about it. There's a lot in there. We could take Malon and Chilion, and we'll look at them particularly. Maybe next week. May God help us. Elimelech is a type of a backslider. Backsliding is not good. It's not easy. It's a rough life. And it don't pay. Elimelech could tell you tonight, if he's here, it don't pay to leave God's work. It don't pay. I remind you of this. I've seen so many down through the years didn't like something that the preacher preached because it's kind of strong and hard. Amen. And because they knew that they was going to have to get rid of it or stop it or change. So rather than change, they just left. And I've watched them go on to other churches and start raising their children in a world that's different than what they just come out of in the church. And start letting their kids go do everything under the sun. And the next thing you know, they got different version Bibles, different ideas, and they've raised them up in entertainment and all kinds of things. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to be one day down the road saying, pray for my boy. Pray for my girl. Hey, you said, don't it happen in the regular? Yes, it does. But I got this to go with. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go. When he gets old, he will not what? Depart from it. That means it will be in. If you don't instill it in them when they're young, they ain't got nothing to come back to. You got to get it there. Now, don't get hard-headed like I was one time. I was raising a bunch of youngins. This little. I said, bless God, the Bible says train up a child in the way it should go. It gets old, it won't depart from it. If you'll train them right, they'll never depart from it. You train them right, they'll never depart from it. And I tried to train mine right, and they departed. All three of mine's back in church now. Thank God for that. So I'm not going to get up on a limb and crow, bless God, train them up right. Hey, they may try to get away from it, but they won't get away from it. Do you remember what you was raised in? You can't get away from it. Hey, hadn't you tried? Amen. Head's bowed and eyes closed. Sure you have.